All Eyes on Egypt presents The Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yokel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short mini skirt. I just got on stage dripping foam with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bits, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say. You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. And you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Work for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends and that's a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding. How it's gonna be in the future we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend.
you know this. Tougher than a lion, ain't gon' need it crying. I live with a sky in, yep, you know this. Never lying, truth teller. That Rihanna rain just won't let us. All black on, blacked out shade, blacked out made. But I'ma rock this shit like fashion, as in going till it fades. Stop in my runway, never looks so clear. But the hottest bitch in heels right here. No fear. And why you getting your crap on? I'm getting my fly on. Sincere. I see you women and my pedestal. I better let you know.
More. شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على انبياء اجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. اما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that he is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
All Eyes on Egypt presents The Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yoel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. Like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
That's right, baby. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the L's Holy Tablet Show, man. You know we do it like this every Saturday night, 9 p.m. on WGAG Radio. Yes, indeed. All right, so, you know, this is basically a 2 hour and 30 minute show. We got the fight coming up right after the L's Holy Tablet Show at 12 in the morning. Because I think the fight comes on at 12 with, what's that nigga name, Neff? What's that nigga name? You know I'm terrible at this shit.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah,
day,
weighing
Don.
146 pounds.
That's right.
How you doing today, Neff?
I'm doing great. How, and yourself?
Good. So we just got to give everybody a heads up that Neff will be actually live, calling the fight live. Make sure y'all tune back in. If y'all need the link to watch the fight as much as I do, y'all got to holler at us in the after party, okay? Because yeah, I'm sure somebody has the link so we can actually watch this fight along with Neff. Turn it down and listen to Nefertiti hosted, also co-hosting by Jay Iller as well, the Floyd Mayweather. And
yes, sir.
Some
yes,
Mexican
ma'am.
Shit. He likes fighting Mexicans, don't he?
And he always fights Cinco de Mayo. That boy is a marketing genius. Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Wow.
Right up. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, that's their national pastime next to soccer is boxing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw the weigh-in. He weighed 146. I was like, damn, Adonai weighed more than him.
Yeah, he a little dude. He little. At his best, he weigh 154 when he's just not training. See, they dehydrate. A lot of people don't know they carry that water weight and what they do before the fight and the weigh-in. Why they look so like they don't have an ounce of fat is because they call what they call dehydrate to make that weight.
How do you
weight.
Dehydrate?
I don't know how the fighters do it, but they do it. So watch when the fight come on tonight. You'll hear them say, or you'll hear me say, the walk-in weight. Because it's going to go up.
Oh,
so when the fight
shit.
Start, yeah, so because the weigh-in was earlier today. They have to weigh
right.
in before the fight, you know, the day before and the day of. So he's going to weigh 146, whatever, 147. Then tonight he'll probably weigh between probably 150 to 154 pounds during
That's
the fight.
Interesting. Wow.
Very. I don't know how they do it, though.
Well, I'm excited. Can't wait to listen to Nefertiti surviving the game along with the number one nigga on the planet, man. Jay Iller,
yep.
Going to co-host this fight. with Nefertiti. So y'all make sure y'all come right on back after the L's Holy Tablet Show. It's a back-to-back Saturday night, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at Activated All Men. Floyd loses tonight. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think that, you know, a nigga who, you know, who's creating his own wealth would want to lose just for the hell of it.
Right.
I don't think he has control. Like, I mean, this is not like, this ain't back in the days with Muhammad Ali and Joe and George Foreman and all the rest of the people.
Right.
I think it's all staged. You know, let me knock you the fuck out in round 7.
Right.
You know, let's take it all the way through, but, you know, you only can hit me a few times.
Right.
Because I'm paying your ass to get in the ring with me, motherfucker.
That's right. That's exactly how it goes down. He picks his fighters. Unlike any other fighter in the game, he picks his opponents. Ain't nobody else doing that. That's full autonomy.
Yeah, so, I mean, what nigga gonna pick an opponent to win?
Right.
No, I don't believe it. But everybody is saying he might lose. We'll figure this thing out. Let's pay attention right after the L's Holy Tablet Show. Come back here at WGAG Radio, man, and turn the TV down and turn up WGAG Radio Nefertiti Surviving the Game. And Jay Iller with the Floyd Mayweather fight right here, y'all. Going down. It's happening right now. So let's get into this L's Holy Tablet, though, because last week I did my best, but we couldn't make it to the end of Tablet 2, the Gilgamesh Epics, Chapter 17, Latum Shil Gilgamesh, the Epic of Gilgamesh. So just for those that just probably need a recap, I'm not good at recap, but as far as I remember, the Tablet 2, Chapter 1, I apologize, Tablet 1 was in regards to Gilgamesh meeting, what was his name, Enkidu and all that other type of shit. If I'm not mistaken, I think they've already defeated the bull, Anu's bull, you know, in Tablet 1. So we're going to start it over in Tablet 2. And that should do it for us, because Tablet 2 is very profound. And I know I rushed through it yesterday, even though we couldn't, last Saturday, even though we couldn't finish it. So anybody want in on this spectacular episode of Gilgamesh Epics, the Epic of Gilgamesh on Tablet 2, just hurry up and push 1. I'll tell y'all where we're at right now, Chapter 17. That's the Epic of Gilgamesh, Latum Shil Gilgamesh on page 1561. That's the third edition of the L's Holy Tablet. You don't have one, that's your fucking fault, but not for long. You can always call 706-468-2319. That's All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia, or call 411. They'll give you the number. And order your copy of the L's Holy Tablet so we keep this thing pushing, man. Special shout-out to everybody that's in attendance. Kafri Moose Petty is in the building. La Bella Vita, Queen Vita's in the building. One time also for Anthony Owens. L, what's good with you, Anthony? Also, my nigga Activated All Mac, Fairy Godmother, Get Real, all the guests tuning in. Sakim Ra is in the building. But shout out also to Jams World. DC is in the building. Solar Flare is 9. You, what's good with you, baby? How you doing? Showing all my love to Mr. Somebody 9 to the Night Power 9. What's good? Also, one time for Roz. Roz is in the building. Got to give some love to the nigga. My nigga Newbie Rock Week 9 is in the building. What up, Newbie? J1, Big Comet. We got to do this shit, honey, because Neff going to kick us out in a minute. So she's Neff saying, I don't give a fuck. Y'all better hurry up and finish reading. I got a damn show to do. But shout out also to my nigga Mushmouth. And one time for Charm 42, man, everybody that's actually in attendance on the call lines. One time for Iset and DJ Tahuti doing a spectacular internet traffic jam. I love y'all so much. Thank y'all doing what y'all do. And let's get this ready. Let's get it in. Neff, you want the page number, baby? You want the page number? Page number, one more time, third edition of the L's Holy Tablet, 1561. Hope y'all be able to catch up on this shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, damn, it feels like I remember what happened in Tablet 1. But anyway, vaguely. So let's jump right on into Tablet 2, the dream. Matter of fact, hold it. Well, one more second. Oh, shit. Got to do something real quick. Ain't going to take but 2 minutes. Take but two minutes. Let me play this. Be right back.
sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, it look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll.
All right. All right, let's get in. Let's go on and get into it, man. Again, this is the El Soli Tablet Show, Chapter 17, Latum Shil Gilgamesh, Epic of Gilgamesh, Tablet 2, The Dream. Let me bring in newbie Rach Week 9 real quick before we get into it. See?
Hotep,
what's
Hotep.
Good?
How's everyone Hotep, doing?
Hotep, Atlanta. Rahul Bat. Rahul Bat, Zinji. Rahul Bat, Zinji. It's good with you.
I'm doing my best. How you doing?
Doing my best. Let's get into it. Okay, Tablet 2, The Dream, Low. Enkidu, your lips buzzed like flies. They have left a legacy of grieving for next year. The dream has left a legacy of grief for next year. I shall go and offer prayers to the great Anunnaki. I shall search out your Anunnaki, look for you, her, Enlil, the father of the Anunnaki. To Enlil, the counselor, father of the Anunnaki, I shall make a statue of you with countless gold. The words he spoke were not like him. What he said did not go back, did not alter. Enkidu raised his head, wept before Shamash. His tears flowed before the rays of the sun. I hereby beseech thou, Shamash, because my fate is different, because the hunter, the brigand, did not let me attain as much as my friend. Let the hunter never attain as much as his friend. Make his advantage vanish. Make his strength less. When he had cursed the hunter as much as he wanted, he decided to curse the harlot too. Come, Shamhat, I shall fix a fate for you. Okay, stop right there. Okay, now it's all coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all coming back in memory now. Last week, Enkidu got to die. Anu, Shamash, and who was it? Enlil? Who else was there? Y'all don't remember? I know it was three. Anu.
Enlil
and Shamash. Okay, so Anu, Enlil, and Shamash got to kill, got to take out Enkidu. And they done already killed the bull
die,
and
yeah.
shit. Anu's bull that Ishtar requested to fuck them niggas up. So Gilgamesh and Enkidu had already killed them, right?
Yeah,
yeah, Shamash is the son. And Shamash is, and don't forget last week that in Tablet 1 that, you know, the harlot is kind of like the key factor in bringing Enkidu, the harlot, what's her name again? Shemhat. Yeah, she's like the key of bringing Enkidu and Gilgamesh together, you know, so that, you know, that type of shit. So now he's ready to curse her because he knows he got to die. So here we go. We're back at 18. Come, Shemhat, I shall fix a fate for you. Curses that shall not cease forever and ever. I shall curse you with a great curse. Straight away my curses shall rise up against you. You shall never make your voluptuous gestures again. You shall not release you of your young bulls. You shall not let them into the girls' rooms. Filth shall impregnate your lovely lap. The drunken shall soak your party dress with vomit. Your cosmetic paint shall be the potter's lump of clay. You shall never obtain the best cosmetic oil. Bright silver, people's affluence, shall not accumulate in your house. The crossroads shall be your only sitting place. Waste ground, your only lying place. The shade of a city wall, your only sitting place. Thorns and spikes shall skin your feet. The drunkard and the thirsty shall slap your cheek. The earth shall shout out against you. The builder shall never plaster the walls of your house. Owls will nest in your roof. Beams feasting shall never take place in your house, because pure is in my open country. Shem has heard the utterance of his mouth. Let's stop right there. Look at Vita. She liked that part. Okay, first of all, we got to understand that Enkidu is pissed than a motherfucker, because he was minding his business. He was drinking with the beast of the field, you know what I'm saying, going to eat with the cows and all the rest of that shit, until all of a sudden the hunter, which I read in the previous, right before he started to curse Shemhat, he cursed the hunter, because the hunter was trying his best to hunt for some of the food or some of the animals that Enkidu lived amongst in the open country. So in the very beginning, this is Enkidu. Now, in the first verse, all the way down to he start to curse Shemhat. He cursed the hunter first. The hunter went back to his daddy. I don't know if y'all remember that. The hunter went back to his daddy like, yo, it's a motherfucker that keeps preventing me from hunting. And then daddy said, well, go holler at, you know what I'm saying, Gilgamesh. Go holler at Gilgamesh. We got some shit for you. Gilgamesh, woo-woo-woo-woo. Gilgamesh sent this, you know, harlot there, you know, some old shit like that, Shemhat, and boom, they fucked for 6 days, 7 hours, 7 nights, 7 days, or some old shit. He fell in love with Shemhat. And thus, now, that's why he's cursing her, because his life was, he didn't have nothing to worry about, you know. Prior to him getting with Gilgamesh, his life was great with the wild beast of the field. His life was great. So now he's pissed because Shemesh, the son, Anu, and Enlil say kill him off with his head. That's some deep ass shit. All right, so back to where are we? Just had to let you know. So he done cursed Shemhat. Is that her name? Yeah, he cursed Shemhat now. He's pissed.
38,
thank you. Okay, so let's go back to the 36 of the owls that he's using to curse her. Owls will nest in your roof. Beams feasting shall never take place in your house, because pure is in my open country. Shemesh, the son, of course, heard the utterance of his mouth. Immediately a loud voice called down to him from the sky. Enkidu, why are you cursing my harlot, Shemhat, who fed you on food fit for Anunnaki, gave you ale to drink fit for kings, clothed you with a great robe, then provided you with Gilgamesh for your fine partner. And now Gilgamesh, the friend who is a brother to you, will lay you to rest on a great bed and lay you to rest on a bed of loving care and let you stay in a restful dwelling, the dwelling on the left. Princes of the earth will kiss your feet. He will make the people of Uruk weep for thou, mourn for you, and he himself will neglect his appearance after your death. Clothed only in a lion skin, he will roam the open country. Enkidu, listen, to the speech of Shemesh, the warrior. His anger abated. His heart became quiet. Let's stop right there. I just want to put on record that even the sun has whores. Even the sun, this going to break a lot of spells of you fucking mortals on the exoteric doctrine. Even the sun, Shemesh, have harlots.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Deep, ain't it?
Because
that's a strong conversation that Shemesh just told, just said to Enkidu. Nigga, my bitch gave you drinks only fit for a king. Yo, God damn, now you want to curse her? Now you want to curse her, Enkidu? Nigga, she bought you up from the muck and mire. That's some strong shit. So now Enkidu is about to take back his curses to Shemhat after Shemesh, the sun, stepped in. Told that motherfucker, you real trifling for that. To curse her ass. Even though you're going to die anyway, but at least you're going to die of a... What are you basically saying about his death? Like, nigga, you're going to be honored, nigga.
Exactly. He's going to be mourned by many.
Statues of your ass. Gilgamesh is going to see that everybody all over the world mourn for you. Yeah. All right, 53. So now his heart became quiet. 53. Come, Shemhat. I shall change your fate. My utterance, which cursed thou, shall bless you instead. Here we go. Governors and princes shall love you, the harlot. The single league men shall smite his thigh for you. The herdsman shall not hold back for you. He shall undo his belt for you. Well, how about that? He shall give you ivory, lapis lazuli, and gold, rings, and brooches shall be present for you. Rain shall pour down for him. His storage jar shall be heaped full. The diviner, shall lead you into the palace of the Anunnaki. Because of you, the mother of seven, the honored wife, shall be deserted. Deep, ain't it? What the fuck did that mean? Of you, the mother of seven, the honored wife, shall be deserted.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Yo, he's saying, goddamn, I'll make every nigga lead a bitch.
Exactly.
For you. And you see, Shemesh ain't butted in the sun. And said, wait a minute now, Gilgamesh, you look sound like you cursing the other women now. Okay, where are we? Okay,
honorable women on top of that.
Yeah, the honored wife shall be deserted because of you. The mother of seven, the honored wife, shall be deserted. Then Enkidu wept, for he was sick at heart. He lay down alone. He spoke what was in his mind to his friend. Listen again, my friend. I had a dream in the shadow hour. The sky called out. The earth replied. I was standing in between them. There was a young man whose face was obscured. His face was like that of an Anzu bird. He had the paws of a lion. He had the claws of an eagle. He seized me by my locks, using great force against me. Hit me, and he jumped like a kepletoi. He hit me and forced me down. Like a wild bull, he trampled on me. He squeezed my whole body. I cried out, save me, my friend. Don't desert me. But you were afraid and did not help me. He hit me and turned me into a dove, turns my arms like a bird. He seized me, drove me down to the dark house, dwelling of Erkala's god, to the house which those who enter canst not leave. On the road we're traveling is one way only, to the house where those who stay are deprived of light. So he's talking about the muck and mire, the underworld, Carnegie, hell,
yep,
jail.
Absolutely.
The Dunya. Wait a minute. All right. Where we at? What verse?
83.
All right. So, of course, to the, on the road where traveling is one way only. Thank you, newbie. To the house where those who stay are deprived of light, where dust is their food and clay their bread. They are clothed like birds with feathers, and they see no light, and they dwell in darkness. Over the door and the boat, dust has settled. I looked at the house that I had entered, and crowns were heaped up, like those with crowns who had ruled the land from time immemorial. Priests of Anu and Enlil regularly set out cooked meats, set out baked bread, set out cold water from water skins. In the house of dust that I had entered dwelt the Enu and Lagaru priests, dwelt the Isipu and Lumahu priests, dwelt the Gadaspu priest of the great gods, dwelt Itana, dwelt Shekin, dwelt Arishkigal, the queen of earth. Belat Siri, the scribe of earth, was kneeling before her. She was holding a tablet and kept reading aloud to her. She raised her head and looked at me. Who brought this man? I experienced all kinds of troubles. Remember me, my friend, and do not forget what I went through. My friend saw an indescribable dream. From the day he saw the dream, his strength was finished. Enkidu lay there the first day, then a second day. The illness of Enkidu as he lay in bed grew worse, his flesh weaker. A third day and a fourth day, the illness of Enkidu grew worse, his flesh weaker. A fifth, sixth, and seventh day, eighth, ninth, and tenth, the illness of Enkidu grew worse, his flesh weaker. An 11th and 12th day, his illness grew worse, his flesh weaker. Enkidu, as he lay in bed, grew worse. Gilgamesh cried out, "My friend is cursing me. I was afraid of the fight. My friend, who was so strong in the fight, cursed me." When the first light of dawn appeared, Gilgamesh said to his friend, "Enkidu, my friend, your mother, a gazelle, your father, a wild donkey, served you. Their milk was from onagers." Is that it? "They reared you, and cattle made you familiar with all the pastures. Enkidu's path led to the pine forest. They shall weep for you, shadow hour and day, never fall silent. Weep for you, the elders of the broad city of Uruk, the sheepfold. The summit will bless us after our death. They shall weep for you, the mountains. They shall mourn in the open country as if it were your father, the fields as if it were your mother. They shall weep for you, myrtle, cypress, and pine, in the midst of which we armed ourselves in our fury. They shall weep for you, the bear, hyena, leopard, tiger, stag, cheetah, lion, wild bulls, deer, mountain goat, cattle, and other wild beasts of open country. It shall weep for you, the holy river, Ulea, along whose bank we used to walk so proudly. It shall weep for you, the pure Euphrates, with whose water and water skins we used to refresh ourselves. Then shall weep, they shall weep for you, the young man of the broad city of Uruk, the sheepfold, who watched the fighting when we struck down the bull of heaven. He shall weep for you, the plowman at his plow, who extols your name with sweet Allah. He shall weep for you, thou, of the broad city of Uruk, the sheepfold, who will extol your name in the first. He shall weep for you, the shepherd, the herdsman, who used to make the beer mixture for your mouth. She shall weep for you, the wet nurse, who used to put butter on your lower parts. He shall weep for you, the elder who used to put ale to your mouth. She shall weep for you, the harlot, Shemhat, by whom you were anointed with perfume oil. They shall weep for you, your parents-in-law, who comfort the wife of your loins. They shall weep for thou, the young men like brothers. They shall weep for you and tear out their hair over thou. For you, Enkidu, I, like your mother and your father, will weep on your plains. Listen to me, Young men, listen to me. Listen to me, elders of Europe. Listen to me. I myself must weep for Enkidu, my friend, mourn bitterly like a wailing woman, as for the axe at my side, spur to my arm, the sword in my belt, the shield for my front, my festival clothes, my manly sash. Evil fate has rose up and robbed me of them. My friend was the hunted mule, wild ass of the mountains, leopard of open country. Enkidu, the strong man, was the hunted wild ass of the mountains, leopard of open country. He who meet and scaled the mountain, seized the bull of heaven and slew it, demolished Humbaba, the mighty one of the pine forest. Now, what is the sleep that have taken hold of you? Turn to me, you. You aren't listening to me, but he cannot lift his head. I touched his heart, but it does not beat at all. My friend has covered his face like a daughter-in-law. He circled over him like an eagle, like a lioness whose cubs are trapped in a pit. He paced back and forth. He tore out and spoiled his well-curled hair. He stripped off and threw away finery as if it were taboo. When the first light of dawn appeared, Gilgamesh sent out a shout through the land. The smith, the coppersmith, the silversmith, and the jeweler were summoned. He made a likeness of his friend. He fashioned a statue of his friend. The four limbs of the friend were made of his chest was lapis lazuli. His skin was of gold. I will lay you to rest on a bed of loving care, and I will let you stay in a restful dwelling, a dwelling of the left. Princes of the earth will kiss your feet. I will make the people of Europe weep for you, mourn for thou. I will fill the proud people with sorrow for you. And I myself will neglect my appearance after your death. And only in a lion's skin I will roam the open country. When the first light of dawn appeared, he undid the fittings of his garments. He displayed the earth to Shamash. It shall make the offering of cool water for him. It shall speak, lest his heart feel sorrow. Weigh in wait in lapis lazuli of the pure Farutu, Euphrates. He displayed the earth to Shamash. He spoke of the broad earth. It shall go gladly at his side. He displayed the Mashatapu, the Mashatapu of the broad earth to Shamash. It shall go gladly at his side, whose top is lapis lazuli, inlaid with carnelian. And the judge of the Anunnaki, when Gilgamesh heard this, he was surprised. When the first light of dawn appeared, Gilgamesh opened it, set out a great table of Elamaku wood, and filled a carnelian bowl with honey, filled a lapis lazuli bowl with butter. He decorated and displayed it to Shamash. Gilgamesh mourned bitterly for Enkidu, his friend, and roamed open country. Shall I die too? Am I not like Enkidu? Grief has entered my innermost being. I am afraid of death, and so I roam open country. I shall take the road and go quickly to see Utnapishtim, son of Ubaratutu. When I reached the mountain passes at shadow hour, I saw lions and was afraid. I raised my head. I prayed to sin. My prayers went to sin, the light of the Anunnaki. O Anunnaki, keep me safe. He went to sleep, awoke at a dream. He was glad to be alive. He took up an axe to his side, drew the sword from his belt. Like an arrow, he fell among them, struck and shattered. Then on midday, huh?
Sin was the lord of the Anunnakis at that time?
Did you say lord of the Anunnaki?
I'm just saying, he's saying that he prayed to sin.
Yep. Yeah, he prayed to sin. Yes. Uh-huh. What's wrong with that?
So what, he was in charge of
what's
the
wrong with
that?
What's wrong with that,
time?
Y'all Christians? What's wrong with that, Christian?
I'm asking a question. That's all.
I mean, what's wrong? I mean, okay, so it says it right there. He said, I prayed to sin.
Okay.
I prayed, what is that? I raised my head, I prayed to sin. My prayers went to sin, the light of the Anunnaki.
Of the Anunnaki, right.
We talked about that the other day, but I know you weren't here. You don't like my shows. You only come to the El Holy Tablet show, you fucker. But I told y'all about sin. Yeah, that's Ishtar's daddy any fucking way. He's one of them. Shit. He's in the family. Don't get it twisted. Anunnagis are not Anunnagis. That's their mixture. And you know what I'm saying? Because those are just who Anu sent to planet Earth, right?
Absolutely.
Anunnagis.
Mm-hmm.
Sin would be one of them, wouldn't it? It just shows it right
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, why would he choose sin to pray for? That's all.
Because maybe sin can help him more so than all your little favorite comic book characters. Don't that make sense?
Hey,
he know who to pray to.
It worked for him, absolutely. That's who he,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
that's what,
at least he know who to call out for help.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But sin ain't a bad guy. That's white man's train of thought. They have all these beings as bad and good. They're not bad and good. This is the nature. You know what I'm saying? Even though sin casts the spell of Leviathan, sin or Suin or Zuin, Ishtar's daddy.
Right.
It don't mean shit. That ain't bad. He ain't the first one. You won the
definitely
last one, because if I'm not mistaken, Enki cast it and Tamaray or Tiamat cast it as well, and Ishtar cast the spell.
Absolutely.
Of sleep or Leviathan, law of sin. And thus, it is the law of sin.
Correct.
Sin law. I guess you would have to pray to sin, since it is the law of sin. I don't know.
No, great analogy.
Huh?
I said, great analogy.
Yeah, but he did pray. He did say, I raised my head and I prayed to sin. And if I'm not mistaken, I forgot who created Gilgamesh, though, because that's in the first chapter. Because somebody created Enkidu, because Gilgamesh was so
Enkidu
strong, he didn't have no adversaries. So I think
it was
Ninti or somebody was like, well, let me throw somebody in there. Let me create somebody to balance Gilgamesh out. It's in the first chapter of Gilgamesh.
I believe it was Ishtar.
Huh?
I believe it was Ishtar.
Now, if you believe it was Ishtar, then it makes sense that he would pray to sin.
Yep.
Wouldn't it? But we got to find out who created him, who made him, who put him on that, you know, made him powerful and strong in the city of Uruk. But if you say Ishtar, then that makes sense. But I doubt it. I don't think it was Ishtar, because Ishtar comes up to him later and want to marry that nigga. And he put her ass in check. You know what I'm talking about? Let's keep it going. Where are we?
We are...
Let me go back to I raised my head and prayed to sin. 212, everybody. For those that are just coming in, we're on the third edition, page 1566 of the El Holy Tablet. Verse, where? 212. I raised my head. I prayed to sin. My prayers went to sin, the light of the Anunnaki. O Anunnaki, keep me safe. He went to sleep, awoke at a dream. He was glad to be alive. He took up an axe to his side, drew the sword from his belt. Like an arrow, he fell among them, struck and shattered. Then on midday, he threw down and gave in the name of the first, the name of the second, the name of the mountain is Mashu. When he reached the mountain Mashu, which daily guards the coming out of Shemesh, their upper parts touched the sky's foundation. Below, their breasts reach Aralu. They guard its gate, scorpion men, whose aura is frightful and whose glance is death. Their terrifying mantles of radiance drape the mountains. They guard the sun at dawn and dusk. Gilgamesh, look at them. In fear and terror clouded his face. He took the initiative and gestured to them in greeting. A scorpion man shouted to his woman, someone has come to us. His body is the flesh of gods. The scorpion man's woman answered him, 2/3 of him is divine, and 1/3 of him is mortal. The scorpion man, the male, shouted, addressed his words to Gilgamesh, the flesh of the Anunnaki, who are you that comes to us on a distant journey? Who are you that comes to my presence, who's crossing difficult? Let me learn your personality. Utnapishtim, my father, who stood in the Anunnaki's assembly and sought out eternal life, death and life, the scorpion man made his voice heard and spoke. He said to Gilgamesh, you know why Gilgamesh want to holler at Utnapishtim, right? Y'all know why Gilgamesh is now, after Enkidu died, he's like walking, he's roaming the country land and looking nasty and fucking filthy. Nubu, do you know why he's looking for Utnapishtim? Noah? Do you know why? He's looking for Utnapishtim. That's what he just asked the scorpion man. He said, right. I'm looking for the Utnapishtim, nigga. I need to holler at him. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what he wants to speak to, but why they don't put...
Well, it's quite simple why. Because Gilgamesh feared death. And that's something that Utnapishtim escaped from. He has eternal life. And that's who he wants to talk to. He's afraid of death, okay. Gilgamesh. He said it earlier. I think you probably was, you know, playing with yourself or something. But Gilgamesh said, I'm afraid of death. I'm scared. It's hell. He's like, I'm scared. And he said, he's probably playing with yourself. You got distracted. ADHD. But, yeah, he says, listen, check it, 239. The scorpion man said, who are you, of course, that comes to us on a distant journey? Who are you that comes to my presence who's crossing difficulty? Let me learn your personality. Utnapishtim, my father, who stood in the Anunnaki's assembly and sought out eternal life. Death and life. The scorpion man made his voice heard and spoke. He said to Gilgamesh, it is impossible, Gilgamesh. Nobody has passed through the mountains inaccessible tract. For even after 12 leagues, the darkness is too dense. There is no light. To the dawn, to the dust, they sent out in grief. By cold and heat, my face is weathered in exhaustion. The scorpion man made his voice heard and spoke. He said to Gilgamesh, go, Gilgamesh, to the Mashu Mountains safely, to the main gate of the land. Gilgamesh listened to the scorpion man, to the words of the guardian of the gate. The path of Shemesh, when he had achieved one league, the darkness was dense. There was no light. He's gone now. This feel like a damn quest, like TV and shit, some type of fucking sacred journey. You know how them TV pictures and shit. Talking to mountains and shit. And go forth. Look for where the sun appears to set. That should be your path. It was impossible for him to see ahead or behind. When he had achieved 2 leagues, when he had achieved 4 leagues, he hurried on. The darkness was still dense. There was no light. It was impossible for him to see ahead or behind. When he had achieved 5 leagues, he hurried on. The darkness was still dense. There was no light. It was impossible for him to see ahead or behind. When he had achieved 6 leagues, he hurried on. The darkness was still dense. There was no light. It was impossible for him to see ahead or behind. When he had achieved 8 leagues, he hurried. The darkness was still dense. There was no light. It was impossible for him to see ahead or behind. When he had achieved 9 leagues, the north wind, but the darkness was still dense. There was no light. It was impossible for him to see ahead or behind. When he had achieved 10 leagues, he came close. He came out in front of the sun. Brightness was everywhere. All kinds of thorny, prickly, spiky bushes were visible, blossoming with gemstones. Carnelian bore fruit, hanging in clusters, lovely to look at. Lapis lazuli bore fruit, and was delightful to view. Its fronds of white parapodilu stone, see Larusu of Sasu stone, like brambles of thorn bushes of stone, carob trees of green abasmu stone, subu stone, Hamathites, riches and wealth like turquoise, which was of the sea. As Gilgamesh walked around, he raised his eyes. Siduri, the alewife, who lives down by the sea, vat stands are made for her. Fermentation vats are made for her. Covering by covering, Gilgamesh was pacing around, clad only in a lion's skin. He had the flesh of Allahum upon his body, but grief was in his innermost being. His face was like that of a long-distance traveler. The alewife looked at him from a distance. She pondered in her heart and spoke a word to herself, and she advised herself, perhaps this man is an assassin. Is he going somewhere? The alewife looked at him and locked her door. She locked the door, locked it with a bolt. Then he, Gilgamesh, noticed, raised his chin, and Gilgamesh spoke to her, to the alewife. Alewife, why did you look at me and lock your door? Lock your door, lock it with a bolt. I will smash the door. I will shatter the bolt. We destroyed Humbaba, who live in the pine forest. We killed lions at the mountain passes. The alewife spoke to him, to Gilgamesh. If you are truly Gilgamesh that struck down the guardian, destroyed Humbaba, who lived in the pine forest, killed lions at the mountain passes, seized the bull of heaven who came down from the sky, struck him down, why are your cheeks wasted, your face dejected, your heart so wretched, your appearance worn out, and grieving your innermost being? Your face is like that of a long-distance traveler. Your face is weathered by cold and heat. Clad only in lion skin, you roam open country. Gilgamesh spoke to her, to Siduri, the alewife. How could my cheeks not be wasted, nor my face dejected, nor my heart wretched, nor my appearance worn out, nor grief in my innermost being? Nor my face like that of a long-distance traveler, nor my face weathered by cold and heat, nor roaming open country, clad only in lion skin. My friend, who I love so much, who experienced my every hardship with me, Enkidu, whom I love so much, who experienced every hardship with me, the fate of mortals conquered him. 6 days and 7 shadow hours I wept over him. I did not allow him to be buried until a worm fell out of his nose. I was frightened, and I am afraid of death, and so I roam open country. The words of my friend weigh upon me. I roam open country for long distances. The words of my friend Enkidu weigh upon me. I roam open country on long journeys. How, oh, how could I stay silent? How, oh, how could I keep quiet? Enkidu, my friend, who I love, turned to clay. Am I not like him? Must I lie down too, never to rise ever again? Gilgamesh spoke to her, to the alewife. Now, alewife, which is the way to Utnapishtim? This is my shit right here. Which is the way to Utnapishtim? Give me directions. Whatever they are, give me directions. If it is possible, it shall cross the sea. If it is possible, it shall cross the sea. If it is impossible, I shall roam open country again. The alewife spoke to him, to Gilgamesh. There has never been a fairy of any kind, Gilgamesh, and nobody from time immemorial has crossed the sea. Shamash, the warrior, is the only one who has crossed the sea. Apart from Shamash, nobody has crossed the sea. The crossing is difficult, the way of it very difficult, and in between are lethal waters which bar the way ahead. Wherever then could you cross the sea, Gilgamesh? And once you reach the lethal waters, what would you do? Yet there is Gilgamesh, a boatman of Utnapishtim, Ur-Shanabi. He, the things of stone, identify him. It will be trimming a young pine in the forest. Go and let him see your face. If it is possible, cross with him. If it is impossible, retreat back. When Gilgamesh heard this, he took up an axe to his side, drew the sword from his belt, stole up and drove them off. Like an arrow, he fell among them. In the midst of the forest, the noise resounded. Ur-Shanabi looked and drew his sword, looked up an axe and crept up on him. Then he, Gilgamesh, hit him on the head, seized his arms and his chest, and the things of stone, the boat, in the waters he held back. He smashed them to the river, of the boat and on the bank. Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Ur-Shanabi, the boatman. I shall enter to you. Ur-Shanabi spoke to him, to Gilgamesh. Why are your cheeks wasted, your face dejected, your heart so wretched, your appearance worn out, and grief in your innermost being? Your face is like that of a long-distance traveler. Your face is weathered by cold and heat, clad only in lion skin. You roam open country. Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Ur-Shanabi, the boatman. How could my cheeks not be wasted, nor my face dejected, nor my heart wretched, nor my appearance worn out, nor grief in my innermost being, nor my face like that of a long-distance traveler, nor my face weathered by wind and heat, nor Roman country, open country clad only in lion skin? My friend was the hunted mule, wild ass of the mountain, leopard of open country. Enkidu, my friend, was the hunted mule, wild ass of the mountain, leopard of open country. We who meet and scaled the mountain, seized the bull of heaven and slew it, demolished Humbaba who dwelt in the pine forest, killed lions in the passes of the mountains. Enkidu, my friend, whom I love so much, who experienced every hardship with me, the fate of mortals conquered him. For 6 days and 7 shadow hours, I wept over him. I did not allow him to be buried until a worm fell out of his nose. I was frightened. Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Utnapishtim. Y'all ready? It's my shit right here.
Let's do it.
It looked like he made it to Utnapishtim, right?
He did. He finally did, yeah.
Okay. So you see Gilgamesh excuses, right? Because they're saying, nigga, ain't no way in hell you supposed to be looking like that. What the fuck is your excuse? Why you look like a damn bomb?
Exactly.
Nigga, look at you. You like, what they say? You like three-thirds fucking Anunnaki and one-half mortal motherfucker? Look like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he said, nigga, I love my friend, my boy, my role dog, motherfucker. We struggled together. We fought together. We kick ass together, motherfucker.
We're about to die together.
Like, I got every reason to be pissed off, to be hurt. My heart hurt like a motherfucker. Tell him, Gilgamesh. Okay, here we go. Here come Noah. Let's light up. This is my favorite part, because Noah about to set this nigga straight. What verse are we at?
387.
Okay. So, Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Utnapishtim. So I thought I would go to see Utnapishtim, the far distant of when people speak, of whom people speak. I searched, went through all countries, passed through and through difficult lands, and crossed to and fro all seas. My face never had enough of what? What did it say? Help me out.
Sweet sleep. Sweet.
Sweet. Sweet sleep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My fibre was filled with grief. I made myself over-anxious by what?
Lack of sleep.
By lack of sleep. What did I gain from my toils, right? Is that what he's saying?
Correct.
I did not make a good impression on the alewife, for my clothes were lion skin.
Finished.
That's what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
For my clothes were finished. I killed a bear, hyena, lion, leopard, tiger, deer, mountain goat, cattle, and other wild beasts of open country. I ate meat from them. I spread out their skins. Let her door be bolted against grief with pitch and brutamen. Because of me, games are spoiled. My own misfortunes have reduced me to misery. Utnapishtim spoke to him, to Gilgamesh. Why do you prolong grief, Gilgamesh? Since the Anunnaki made you like your father and mother, death is inevitable at some time, both for Gilgamesh and for a goddamn fool. But a throne is set down for you in the assembly. To a fool is given dregs instead of butter, rubbish and sweepings, clothed in a lion cloth, because he has no sense, has no word of advice. You get that shit? Well, hey, Jay Illa.
Yep.
Let's read that part. Let the fish them say again. What did he say again? Mm. Why do you prolong grief? Because this shit must have been going on for a long time until he got to him.
If he's going through all of those travels, definitely, it must have been a long bit.
Yeah. He says, since the Anunnaki made you like your father and mother, death is inevitable at some time, both for Gilgamesh and for a fool. But a throne is set down for you in the assembly. To a fool is given dregs instead of butter, rubbish, and sweepings, clothed in a lion cloth, because he has no sense, has no word of advice. Gilgamesh raised his head. Why have you exerted yourself? What have you achieved, nigga? What he's saying? You have made yourself weary for lack of sleep. You only fill your flesh with grief. You only bring the distant days of reckoning closer. Mankind's fame is cut down like reeds in a reed bed. A fine young man, a fine girl, nobody sees death. Nobody sees the face of death. Nobody hears the voice of death. Savage death just cuts mankind down. Sometimes we build a house. Sometimes we make a nest. But then brothers divided upon inheritance. Sometimes there is hostility in the land. But then the river rises and brings flood water. Dragonflies drift on the river. Their faces look upon the face of the sun. But then suddenly there is nothing. The primitive man is as any young man when they bless me. The Anunnaki, the great Anunnaki, assembled. Mamitum, who creates fate, decreed destinies with them. They appointed death and life. They appointed death and life. They did not mark out days for death, but they did so for life. Go ahead, Utnapishtim.
Mm-hmm.
Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Utnapishtim, the far distant. I look at thou, Utnapishtim, and your limbs are no different. You are just like me. Indeed, you are not at all different. You are just like me. I feel the urge to prove myself against thou, to pick a fight against you. You lie on your back. How you came to stand in the Anunnaki's assembly and sought eternal life? Oh, I love this conversation with him. Where is India? India need to push one and say, Gilgamesh need to respect his elders. He's being very rude to Utnapishtim. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. That was not funny. I won't do that again. Gilgamesh said, nigga, you mean you just alike. Shit. Motherfucker. But my question to you is, Noah Utnapishtim, how the hell you came to stand in the Anunnaki's assembly and sought eternal life? Utnapishtim spoke to him. Listen closely, because this is very powerful. If I hope I can deliver it right, though. Utnapishtim spoke to him, to Gilgamesh. Let me reveal to you a closely guarded matter, Gilgamesh, and let me tell you the secret of the Anunnaki. Doom.
Here we go.
The sleeping and the dead are just like each other. Picture cannot be drawn. Shurupak is a city that you yourself know, situated on the band of the Euphrates. The city was already old when the Anunnaki within it decided that the great Anunnaki should make a flood. Noah's about to tell his side of the story, y'all, about the flood. Okay, to Gilgamesh. This shit here is fucking incredible. Okay, there was Anu, their father, Warrior, Enlil, their counselor. Ninurta was their chamberlain. Enugi, their canal controller. Far-sighted Enki swore the oath of secrecy with them, so he repeated their speech to a reed hut. Reed hut, brick wall, listen, reed hut, and pay attention, brick wall. Man of Sharupal, son of Ubara Tutu, dismantle your house, build a boat, leave possession, search out living things, reject chattel, and save lives. Put abroad the seed of all living things into the boat. The boat that you are to build shall have her dimensions in proportion. Her width and length shall be in harmony. Roof her like the Apsu. I realized and spoke to my master, Enki. I have paid attention to the words that you spoke in this way. My master, I shall act upon them. But how can I explain myself to the city, the men, and the elders? Enki made his voice heard and spoke. He said to me, his servant, you shall speak to them thus. I think that Enlil has rejected me, and so I cannot stay in your city, and I cannot set foot on Enlil's land again. I must go down to the Apsu and stay with my master Enki. Then he will shower abundance upon thou, a wealth of fowl, a treasure of fish, prosperity, a harvest. In the morning, a cakes, darkness. In the evening, a rain of wheat, heaviness. He will shower upon thou. When the first light of dawn appeared, the country gathered about me. The carpenter brought his axe. The reed worker brought his stone. The young men and the children carried the butimen. The poor fetched what was needed. On the fifth day, I laid down her form. 1 acre was her circumference. Was that one pole? Two poles?
10 poles. 10.
Excuse me. 10 poles each. Let's do it again. 1 acre was her circumference. 10 poles each, the height of her walls. Her top edge was like 10 poles all around. I laid down her structure, drew it out, gave her 6 decks, divided her into 7. Her middle I divided into 9. Drove the water pegs into her middle. I saw to the paddles and put down what was needed. 3 sar of bitumen I poured into the kiln. 3 sar of pitch I poured into the inside. 3 sar of oil they fetch, the workmen who carried the baskets, not counting the sar of oil which the dust soaked up. The boatmen stowed away 2 more sar of oil. I slaughtered oxen. I sacrificed sheep every day. I gave the workmen ale and beer to drink, oil and wine as if they were river water. They made a feast like a New Year's Day festival. When the sun rose, I provided hand oil. When the sun went down, the boat was complete. The launching was difficult. Launching rollers had to be fetched from above to below. 2/3 of it stood clear of the waterline. I loaded her with everything there was, loaded her with all the silver, loaded her with all the gold, loaded her with all the seed of living things. All of them I put on board the boat, all my kith and kin. Put on board cattle from open country, wild beasts from open country, all kinds of craftsmen. Shemesh had fixed the hour. In the daylight hours, cakes darkened. In the dust period, a rain of wheat, heaviness, I shall shower down. Enter into the boat and shut your door. That hour arrived. In the daylight hour, cakes, darkness. In the daylight hour, cakes, darkness. In the dust period, a rain of wheat, heaviness, shower down. I saw the shape of the storm. The storm was terrifying to see. I went abroad the boat and closed the door. To seal the boat, I handed over. What did he hand it over?
The floating palace.
Thought so. Okay. To seal the boat, I handed over the floating palace with her cargo to Puzu Amuru, the boatman. When the first light of dawn appeared, a black cloud came up from the base of the sky. Adad kept rumbling inside it. Shulat and Hanish were marching ahead, marched as chamberlains over the mountain and country. Irakal pulled out the mooring poles. Ninurta marched on and made the weirs overflow. The waters, oh, is that waters? No, that's not
marched
waters.
Out and made the weirs
yeah,
overflow.
The weirs overflow. The Anunnaki had to carry torches. They lit it up. Nope, they lit up the land with their brightness. The calm before the storm god came over the sky. Everything light turned to darkness. On the first day, the tempest rose up, blew swiftly, and brought the flood weapon. Like a battle force, the destructive Kasusu weapon passed over the people. No man could see his fellow, nor could people be distinguished from the sky. Even the Alahum were afraid of the flood weapon. They withdrew. They went up to the heaven of Anu. The Alahum cowered like dogs crouched by an outside wall. You hear this shit?
Yep.
Ishtar screamed like a woman giving birth. The mistress of the Anunnaki, sweet of voice, was wailing. Has that time really returned to clay because I spoke evil in the Anunnaki's assembly? How could I have spoken such evil in the Anunnaki's assembly? I should have ordered a battle to destroy my people, yet they filled the sea like fish spawn. The Yahuwahs of the Anunnaki were weeping with her. The Alahum humbled, set their weeping. Their lips were closed and covered with scab. For days and seven shadow hours, the wind blew. Flood and tempest overwhelmed the land. When the seventh day arrived, the tempest, flood, and onslaught, which had struggled like a woman in labor, blew themselves out. The sea became calm. The Imhulu wind grew quiet. The flood held back. I looked at the weather. Silence reigned, for all mankind had returned to clay. The flood pain was flat as a roof. I opened a portal. It doesn't really say portal. I opened a porthole, and light fell on my cheeks. I bent down, then sat. I wept. My tears ran down my cheeks. I looked for banks, for limits to the sea. Areas of land were emerging everywhere. The boat had come to rest on Mount Nimush. The mountain Nimush held the boat fast and did not let it budge. The first and second day, the mountain Nimush held the boat fast and did not let it budge. The third and fourth day, the mountain Nimush held the boat fast and did not let it budge. The fifth and sixth day, the mountain Nimush held the boat fast and did not let it budge. When the seventh day arrived, I put out and released a dove. The dove went, it came back, for no perching place was visible to it, and it turned around. I put on and released a swallow. The swallow went, it came back, for no perching place was visible to it, and it turned around. I put out and released a raven. The raven went and saw the waters receding, and it ate, preened, and lifted its tail, and did not turn around. Then I put everything out of the four winds, and I made a sacrifice, set out a Sequenu offering upon the mountain peak, arranged the jars seven and seven. Into the bottom of them I poured essence of reeds, pine, and myrtle. The Anunnaki smelt the fragrance. The Anunnaki smelt the pleasant fragrance. The Anunnaki, like flies, gathered over the sacrifice. As soon as the mistress of the Anunnaki arrived, she raised the great flies, which Anu had made to please her. Behold, O Anunnaki, I shall never forget the significance of my lapis lazuli necklace. I shall remember these times and shall never forget. Let other Anunnaki come to the Sequenu offering, but let Enlil not come to the Sequenu offering, because he did not consult before imposing the flood and consign my people to destruction. Okay, so yesterday I thought it was Enki. It was Enlil, whoever told me that shit. Yesterday on one of the shows, I thought, I knew it was one of them that did, I knew it was one of the brothers that gave that order, but you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? The other day, yesterday on the show, one of the shows we did. So it was in Leo. That's who I was wondering. They did say in Leo. I was like, I thought it was Inky. Okay. All right, yeah, so let's go. So her say, keep in Leo. As soon as in Leo arrives, note where we at. But let in Leo not come, 560. But let in Leo not come to the Sequenu offering, because he did not consult before imposing the flood and consign my people to destruction. As soon as in Leo arrived, he saw the boat. In Leo was furious, filled with anger at the Igigi. What sort of life survived? No man should have lived through the destruction. Ninurta made his voice heard and spoke. He said to the warrior Enlil, who other than Inki, who other than Inki would have done such a thing? For Inki can do everything. Inki made his voice heard and spoke. He said to the warrior Enlil, you are the sage of the Anunnaki, warrior. So how, oh how, could fail to consult and impose the flood? Punish the sinner for his sin. Punish the criminal for his crime. But ease off. Let work not cease. Be patient. Instead of your imposing a flood, let a lion come up and diminish the people. Instead of your imposing a flood, let a wolf come up and diminish the people. Instead of your imposing a flood, let a famine be imposed and diminish the people. Instead of your imposing a flood, let an error rise up and savage the people. I did not disclose the secret of the great Anunnaki. I just showed Utnapishtim a dream. And thus he heard the secret of the Anunnaki. This is some powerful goddamn shit right here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that would explain when he first said that Utnapishtim, when Utnapishtim was talking to Gilgamesh in the very beginning, he said that he was fucking with Enlil at first, right? Remember? And mm-hmm. then, goddamn, he had that little dream and shit, and then with Inki, and then he was like, how I'm going to tell, you know, all the motherfuckers in my little town and shit, and the elders, how I'm supposed to tell them? And then Inki told him, tell them this, that, and the goddamn third, woo-da-woo-da-woo-da-woo. That was the
right.
dream, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, that's some deep shit. So Inki gave him, you know, Inki came in and interceded by way of a vision, which lets y'all know to pay attention to your visions.
Mm.
Yeah, and because of that vision, that's why, you know, of course Noah was perfect in this generation. Come on, only a dumbass will ignore their visions. But anyway. And then, only a fucking fool will ignore their fucking visions, their fucking dreams. Yeah, that's what saved Noah and everybody else, because he had that vision. That was Inki, not God. Tell your Christian friends. It was Inki that came to him. Remember, they was like, remember, like in Bruce Almighty, when that nigga had, what was his name? Alvin or Alden Almighty? It wasn't Bruce part two. It was somebody else. But he had to build that ark. He said God came to him. But they always said that Inki was God, though. So now we know that's Inki that actually told Noah to build that, to build the ark and get everybody safe. So now it made sense why the Allahum and everybody was terrified, because that was not supposed to happen. Evan Almighty, thank you, Jay Illa. So, but it makes sense now why the Allahum, the Yahuwahs, the Anunnagis, the assembly was hurt, upset, they're terrified. Because that shit was not supposed to happen. They said, bring a, nigga, you want to fuck some motherfuckers up, let a lion devour them niggas. You know what I'm saying? Why you trying to kill everybody in Lil? Trifling ass. You know, charge a criminal for his crime, this and the third. Nigga, you trying to kill every goddamn living being on this motherfucking planet. Trifling ass nigga. they ain't like that shit, dude.
Oh,
so
no.
How? Oh, huh? We got another hour remaining. Say what now?
Nah, he didn't like that at all.
Nah, because they said, nigga, what they say? Punish the sinner for his sin. Punish the criminal for his crime. Motherfucker, but ease off. Let work not cease. Be patient. Instead of you imposing a flood, let a lion come up and diminish the people. God damn. I said, instead of you trying to fucking drown motherfuckers, let a famine be imposed and diminish the people. Let them starve them, motherfucker. Instead of you imposing a flood, let an error rise up and savage the people. I did not disclose the secret of the great anonymity. Say what, newbie?
I said, Enki knows what he was saying. You kill all the people.
Yeah, yeah.
Enki
got down. He was like, so Enki had to, what's that shit called? What's the word for, you know, when you hear some shit and now you're going to have to counteract that shit? Enki had to, like, throw a wrench in Lil Gang.
He sure did.
267-888, did you want in?
Yeah, how you doing? I wanted to, you said it was another hour left, so that mean the show going into overtime at 11?
No, I'm sorry. No, we're not doing overtime, because at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is the fight. Okay. Neff and Jay Illa will be hosting the fight on WGAG Radio. So we got an hour and 16 minutes remaining for the Holy Tablet show.
Oh,
so
okay,
there
okay,
won't
okay.
be an overtime, because we got the fight coming up next on WGAG Radio.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
You gonna watch the fight? You gonna watch the fight?
Nah, I'm not.
You gonna listen to the fight?
I'm listening. Yeah, I'm listening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I'm
listening
too. Yeah. Well, if anybody needs the link, y'all gotta holler at us in the after party if you want the link. Not Facebook, not any of that. You have to come see us in the after party to watch the fight. All right? Okay, let's continue. It's good to hear your voice too, sweetheart.
It's always good to hear yours too.
Thank you. Okay, so where we at now, newbie?
571.
Okay, 571. All right, here we go. This is Enki said, but I didn't tell the secret of the Anunnaki.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, 571. Now, the advice that prevailed was his advice. And Leo came up into the boat and seized my hand and led me up. He led up my woman and made her kneel down at my side. He touched her forehead, stood between us, blessed us. Until now, Utnapishtim was mortal. But henceforth, Utnapishtim and his woman shall be as we, Anunnaki, are. Utnapishtim shall dwell far off at the mouth of the rivers. They took me and made me dwell far off at the mouth of the rivers. So now, who can gather the Anunnaki on your behalf, Gilgamesh, that you too may find eternal life, which you seek?
What a question.
This, because remember now, Gilgamesh basically told him, man, you ain't no different, motherfucker. Disrespecting the elders like
the
Noah.
Exactly, yep.
Man, you ain't no motherfucking different, motherfucker. I should beat your ass. I should fight with you right the fuck now. That's what Gilgamesh said, right?
Yep.
He said, I shall beat your ass. I will show you that me and you are the goddamn same.
Mm-hmm.
After all that shit, Utnapishtim said, he ended it with, nigga, the Anunnaki took me and my woman, motherfucker, and made us an Anunnaki. Nigga. Now, nigga, me and you ain't different. I'm all Anunnaki.
Yep.
you two-thirds Anunnaki
two-thirds.
And immortal, motherfucker.
Yep. Absolutely.
So he says, so now, who can gather the Anunnaki on your behalf, Gilgamesh, that you too may find eternal life, which you seek? You must not sleep. Listen to the formula. For a start, you must not sleep for 6 days and 7 shadow hours. As soon as he was sitting with his head between his knees, sleep breathed over him like a fog. Utnapishtim spoke to her, to his wife. Look at the young man who wants eternal life. Sleep breathes over him like a fog. His wife spoke to him, Utnapishtim, the far distant. Touch him and let man wake up. Let him go back in peace the way he came. Go back to his country through the great gate through which he once left. Utnapishtim spoke to her, to his wife. Man behaves badly. He will behave badly towards you. For a start, Bake a daily portion for him. Put each time by his head and mark on the wall the days that he sleeps. She baked a daily portion for him, put it each time by his head and marked on the wall for him the days that he slept. His first day's portion was dried out. The second was going bad. The third was soggy. The fourth had white mold on the fifth was discolored. The sixth was stinking. The seventh, at that moment, that he touched him, and the man woke up. Gilgamesh spoke to Utnapishtim, the far distant. No sooner had sleep come upon me than you touched me straight away and roused me. Utnapishtim spoke to him, to Gilgamesh. Look, Gilgamesh, count your daily portion, that the number of days you slept may be proved to thou. Your first day ration is dried out. The second is going bad. The third is soggy. The fourth has white mold on it. The fifth has discolored. The sixth is stinking. The seventh, at that moment, you woke up. Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Utnapishtim. How? Oh, how could I have done it, Utnapishtim? Wherever can I go? The snatchers have blocked my route. Death is waiting in my bedroom. And wherever I set my foot, death is there too. Utnapishtim spoke to him, to Ur-Shanabi, the boatman. Ur-Shanabi, the quay, will cast you out. The fairy will reject thou. Be deprived of her side, at whose side you once went. The man whom you led, filthy hair, fetters his body. Skin have ruined the beauty of his flesh. Take him, Ur-Shanabi, bring him to a washbowl. And let him wash in water his filthy hair as clean as possible. Let him throw away his skins and let the sea carry them off. Where am I? Let his body be soaked. Let his body be soaked until it is fresh. Put a new headband on his head. Have him wear a robe as a proud garment until he comes to his city, until he reaches his journey's end. The garment shall not discolor, but stay absolutely new. Ur-Shanabi took him and brought him to a washbowl, and he washed in his water his filthy hair as clean as possible. He threw away his skins, and the sea carried them off. His body was soaked until it was fresh. He put a new headband on his head. He wore a robe as a proud garment until he came to his city, until he reached his journey's end. The garment would not discolor and stayed absolutely new. Gilgamesh and Ur-Shanabi embarked on the boat. They cast off the Megillu boat and sailed away. His wife spoke to him, to Utnapishtim. Gilgamesh came, weary, striving. What will you give him to take back to his country? And Gilgamesh out there raised the pole. He brought the boat near the shore. Utnapishtim spoke to him, to Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh, you came weary, striving. What can I give you to take back to your country? Let me reveal a closely guarded matter, Gilgamesh, and let me tell you the secret of the Anunnaki. There is a plant whose root is like camel thorn, whose thorn, like a rose, will spike your hands. If you yourself can win that plant, you will find rejuvenation. When Gilgamesh heard this, he opened the pipe. He tied heavy stones to his feet. They dragged him down into the Apsu, and he saw the plant. He took the plant himself. It spiked his hands. He cut the heavy stones from his feet. The sea threw him up onto its shore. Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Ur-Shanabi, the boatman. Ur-Shanabi, this plant is a plant to cure a crisis. With it, a man may win the breath of life. I shall take it back to Uruk, the sheepfold. I shall give it to an elder to eat, and so try out the plant. Its name shall be, An Old Man Grows Into a Young Man. At 20 leagues, they ate their ration. At 30, the league stopped for the shadow hour. Gilgamesh saw a pool whose water was cool and went down into the water and washed. A snake melt the fragrance of the plant. It came up silently and carried off the plant. As it took away, it shed its scaly skin. Thereupon Gilgamesh sat down and wept. His tears flowed over his cheeks. He spoke to Ur-Shanabi, the boatman. "For what purpose, Ur-Shanabi, have my arms grown weary? For what purpose was the blood inside me so red? I did not gain an advantage for myself. I have given the advantage to the lion of the ground. Now the current will carry 20 leagues away. While I was opening the pipe, arranging the gear, I found the door thong, which must have been set there as an omen for me. I shall give up, and I have left the boat on the shore. At 20 leagues, they ate their ration. At 30 leagues, they stopped for the shadow hour. They reached Uruk, the sheepfold. Gilgamesh spoke to him, to Ur-Shanabi, the boatman. Go up on the wall of Uruk, Ur-Shanabi, and walk around. Inspect the foundation platform and scrutinize the brick word. Testify that its bricks are baked bricks and that the seven counselors must have laid its foundations. 1 square mile is a city. 1 square mile is orchards. 1 square mile is clay pits, as well as the open ground of Ishtar's temple. 3 square miles and the open ground comprise Uruk. If only I had led the puku in the carpenter's house today, I would have left the carpenter's wife like the mother who bore me. I would have left the carpenter's daughter like my little sister. Today the puku fell into the earth and my meku fell into the earth. Enkidu asks Gilgamesh, my ruler, what did you weep for and your heart grow sad? I shall bring up the puku and meku from the earth today. Gilgamesh said to Enkidu, if you go down to the earth, you must follow my instructions. You must not put on a clean garment, for they will recognize that you are a stranger. You must not be anointed with perfume oil from an ointment jar, for they will gather around you at the smell of it. You must not toss a throw stick into the earth, for those who are hit by the throw stick will encircle you. You must not raise a club in your hands, for ghosts will flit around you. You must not put shoes on your feet, lest you make a noise in the earth. You must not kiss the wife you love. You must not hit the wife you hate. You must not kiss the son you love. You must not hit the son you hate, for the earth's outcry will seize you. She who sleeps and sleeps, the mother of Ninazu, who sleeps. Her pure shoulders are not covered with garment. Her breasts are not pendulous like an ointment jar in a sapatu basin. What the fuck is so funny? I don't get it.
You said her breasts are not pendulous.
What the hell that mean? It's not like cassava melons?
They're not hanging.
Oh, they're not hanging like mine?
Like
so my
pendulum?
The pendulous?
Yeah.
It don't sit on the bitch lap.
Okay.
Okay. So her breasts are not pendulous like an ointment jar in a sapatu basin. He did not follow his ruler's instruction. He put on a clean garment, so they recognized that he was a stranger. He was anointed with perfume oil from an ointment jar, so they gathered around him at the smell of it. He tossed the throw stick into the earth, so those who were hit by the throw stick encircled him. He raised the club in his hands, so ghosts flitted around him. He put shoes on his feet. He made a noise in the earth. He kissed the wife he loved. He hit the wife he hated. He kissed the son he loved. He hit the son he hated. And the earth's outcry did seize him. She who sleeps and sleeps, the mother of Ninazu, who sleeps. Her pure shoulders were not covered with a garment. Her breasts were not spindleless like an ointment jar in a sekatu basin. When Enkidu tried to go up again out of the earth, Namtar did not seize him, nor did Asaku seize him. The earth seized him. The Croucher, Yukur, the Merciless, did not seize him. The earth seized him. He did not fall into a fight among males. The earth seized him. Then the son of Ninsun went and wept for his servant Enkidu. He went off on his own to Ikur, Enlil's temple. Father Enlil, today the puku and the meku fell into the earth. The croucher, Yukur, the merciless, did not seize him. Father Enlil answered him not a word, so he went off alone to Sin's temple. Father Sin, today the Puku and Meku fell into earth. The earth seized Enkidu, who went down to bring them up. Namtar did not seize him, nor did Asaku seize him. The earth seized him. The Croucher, Ukur, the merciless, did not seize him. The earth seized him. He did not fall in a fight among males. The earth seized him. Father Sin answered him not a word, so he went off alone to Enki's temple. Father Enki, today the Puku and Meku fell into the earth. The earth seized Enkidu, who went down to bring them up. Namtar did not seize him, nor did Asaku seize him. The earth seized him. The Croucher, Ukur, the merciless, did not seize him. The earth seized him. He did not fall in a fight among males. The earth seized him. Father Enki answered him. He spoke to the warrior, Ukur, warlike young man, Ukur. You must open up a hole in the earth now, so that the spirit of Enkidu came out of the earth like a gust of wind. They hugged and kissed. They discussed. They agonized. Tell me, my friend, tell me earth's conditions that you found. I can't tell thou, my friend. I can't tell thou. If I tell you earth's conditions that I found, you must sit and weep. Your wife whom you touched and your heart was glad. Ermine, eat like an old garment. Your son whom you touched and your heart was glad. Sit in a crevice full of dust. Woe, she said, and groveled in the dust. Woe, he said, and groveled in the dust. I saw the father of one whom you once saw. He weeps bitterly over it. I saw the father of two whom you once saw. He eats bread sitting on two bricks. I saw the father of three whom you once saw. He drinks water from a water skin. I saw the father of four whom you once saw. His heart glad with a team of four. I saw the father of five whom you once saw like a first-rate scribe. He is open-handed. Enters the palace as a matter of course. Like a fine emblem, I saw him, whom you saw die a sudden death. He lies in bed and drinks pure water. I saw the father of six, whom you once saw. I saw whom you saw killed in battle. His father and mother honor him, and his wife weeps over him. I saw him, whose corpse you saw abandoned in the open country. His ghost does not sleep in the earth. I saw him, whom you saw, whose ghost has nobody to supply it. He feeds on dregs from dishes and bits of bread that lie abandoned in the streets. This is how it was recorded, and this is how it will be. The end, the tablets of Gilgamesh, Latum Shil Gilgamesh. That's what they're doing. Wow. Wow. Well, shall we go into the tablets of Etana? Just for the hell of it. Absolutely. All in favor? We got another hour.
Absolutely. So
is anybody familiar with Etana? The ruler Etana? Anybody? Y'all heard about it? Read about it in college or any of them other little situations or TV shows or HBO specials, Showtime, any of you? Motherfuckers, no, nobody. Nobody saw it on Cartoon Network. Newbie, not you, not them. Okay. But let's get into chapter 18, man. If I'm not mistaken, we one more chapter, yo. Chapter 19, boo. We'll be done with the Elderly Tablet. All right, chapter 18. We'll jump it off. Loha Shil Etana, the Tablet of Etana. Begin all acts and thinking by using El Kalum, the All. Tablet 1, El Kalum. Lo, the great Elohim, the Igigi, designed the blueprints of a city. The Igigi laid the plans for its foundation. The Anunnaki designed this actual city of Kish. The Anunnaki made and laid its brickwork firm. In council, they decided to let Etana be their shepherd and rule first in the great city. Let Etana be their builder and ruler and holder of the staff of leadership. The great Anunnaki who decreed destinies set and conferred their council on the land. They were creating the four quarters of the world and establishing the form of it. The Igigi were greatly satisfied and decreed names of its provinces for them all. They had not established a ruler over all the people of each province. At that time, the headband and crown had not been put together, and the lapis lazuli scepter had not been decreed over him. At the same time near them, the throne diocese, had not been made. The Sabiti barred the gates against armies' attacks. The Sabiti barred the against other settled peoples. The Igigi would patrol the city from the skies. Ishtar was looking for a shepherd and searching high and low for a ruler. Inanna was looking for a shepherd and searching high and low for a shepherd. Enlil was looking for a throne diocese for Etana, the young man for whom Ishtar is looking so diligently and searches endlessly day and shadow hour, sleepless. A ruler is hereby affirmed for the land, and in Kish it is established that Etana is that ruler. He brought rulership down to Eridu. The Anunnaki of the lands were satisfied in him. He named him Fishman, Serpent of the Sea. He built a fort in his behalf. The throne diocese of Adad, his Anunnaki name, Baal. In the shade of that throne diocese, A poplar sprouted fresh water. On his crown, an eagle man crouched, and a serpent man lay at his base. Every day, they would keep watch for their prey to come. The eagle man made his voice heard and said to the serpent man, "Come, let us be friends. Let us be comrades, you and I." The serpent man made his voice heard and spoke to the eagle man, "You are not fit for friendship in the sight of Shemesh, whose consort is Aya. You are wicked, and you have grieved in his heart. You have done unforgivable deeds, an abomination to the Anunnaki. But come, let us stand up and make a pledge together. Let us swear an oath on the necks of Shemesh, great day." In the presence of Shemesh, the warrior, they swore an oath. Whoever oversteps the limit set by Shemesh, Shemesh shall deliver into the hands of the smiter for harm. Whoever oversteps the limit set by Shemesh, may the mountain keep it past far away from him. May the prowling weapon make straight for him. May the snares on which the oath to Shemesh is sworn overturn him and snare him. When they had sworn the oath, on the next of the Shemesh day, they stood up straight and went up the mountain. Each day they kept watch for their prey to come. The eagle man would catch a wild bull or a wild ass, and the serpent man would eat, then turn away so that his young could eat. The serpent man would catch mountain goats or gazelles, and the eagle man would eat, then turn away so that his young could eat. The eagle man would catch wild boar and wild sheep, and the serpent man would eat, then turn away so his young could eat. The serpent man would catch cattle from the plains and wild beasts from the countryside, and the eagle man would eat, then turn away so that his young could eat. The young of the serpent man had an abundance of food. The eagle man's young grew large and flourished. When the eagle man's young grew large and flourished, when the eagle man's young had grown large and flourished, the eagle man plotted evil in his heart. And in his heart it plotted evil and made up his mind to eat his friend's young ones. The eagle man made his voice heard and spoke to his young, I am going to eat the serpent man's young ones. The serpent man is sure to be angry, so I shall go up and abide in the sky. I shall come down from the treetop only to eat the fruit. A small fledgling, especially wise, addressed his words to the eagle man, his father. Father, don't eat. The net of Shemesh will ensnare you. The snares on which the oath of Shemesh is sworn will overturn you and ensnare you. Remember, whoever oversteps the limit set by Shemesh, Shemesh shall deliver into the hands of the smiter for harm. Do y'all hear this shit?
Yep.
This some interesting shit, right? And you sometimes and you wonder why good things happen to bad motherfuckers. Or bad motherfuckers catch bad shit. you hear this shit? And then it say that something entered into his heart?
Yep.
It said that something entered into his heart.
Everybody was eating and it was okay, but for some reason.
For some reason, that's right. The eagle man let that shit get him in his heart. That heart, I keep saying, that's what I'm on. That heart, motherfucker. Now, y'all niggas made an oath together. Y'all ain't going to stab each other in the goddamn back, motherfucker. You gonna share? I hunt for you.
Yep.
I hunt for that nigga. The way it went is I hunt for your young, for you and your young. You hunt for me and my young. Isn't that a beautiful friendship?
It is. It is.
Damn. Okay? And what the little baby say? What the little baby eagle say? Father, don't eat. The net of Shemesh will ensnare you. The snares on which the oath of Shemesh is sworn will overturn you and ensnare you. Remember, whoever oversteps the limit set by Shemesh, Shemesh shall deliver into the hands of the smiter for harm. It would not listen to them and would not listen to the word of its son. Of course not. This is where the motherfucker fuck up at. There it is right there. Mm-mm. It went down and ate the serpent man's young. In the dusk period at the close of day, the serpent man came and was carrying his load. Stared, for his nest was not there. Daylight hour came. He waited, but the eagle man did not appear. For with his talons, it had clawed at the ground, and its dust cloud covered the heavens on high. The serpent man lay down and wept. His tears flowed before Shemesh. I trusted in you, Shemesh, the warrior, and I was helpful and sincere to the eagle man who lives on the branches. Now the serpent man's nest is grief-stricken. My own nest is not there, while its nest is safe. My young ones are scattered, and its young ones are safe. Let me do this shit again. I got to do this shit right. How long? Lord, let's do this shit right. Okay. The serpent man lay down and wept. 85. Its tears flowed before Shemesh. I trusted in you, Shemesh, the warrior, and I was helpful and sincere to the eagle man who lives on the branches. Now the serpent man's nest is grief-stricken. My own nest is not there, while its nest is safe. My young ones are scattered, and its young ones are safe. It came down and ate my young ones. You know the wrong which it has done me, Shemesh. Truly, O Shemesh, your net is as wide as earth. Your snare is as broad as the sky. The eagle man should not escape your net, as criminals as Anzu or Zuin, who wronged his comrade. When he heard the serpent man's plea, Shemesh made his voice heard and spoke to the serpent man. Go along the path, cross the mountain, where a wild bull abundant and has been bound for you. Open up his innards, slit open his stomach, make a place to sit inside his stomach. All kinds of birds will come down with them. The eagle man, too, will come down with them. Since it will not be aware of danger to itself, it will search out the most tender morsel, will comb the area and search for it. Penetrate to the lining of the innards. When it enters the innards, you must seize it by the wing. Cut its wing, feather, and pinion. Pluck it and throw it into a bottomless pit. Let it die there of hunger and thirst. At the command of the warrior, Shamash, the serpent man, came upon the wild bull and opened up its innards and slit open its stomach and made a place to sit inside its stomach. All kinds of birds came down from the sky and began to eat the flesh. But the eagle man was aware of the danger to itself and would not eat the flesh with the other birds. The eagle man made his voice heard and spoke to his son. Because the eagle got senses, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
The eagle's smart, ain't it? He's like, wait a minute, I smell a snake somewhere around this motherfucker. This motherfucker's like, hold on. The eagle man made his voice heard and spoke to his son. Come and let us go down and let us eat the flesh of this wild bull. The eagle man reasoned this to itself. If the birds felt any fear, how would they be eating the flesh so peacefully? It did not pay heed to them, did not listen to the words of its sons, came down and stood upon the wild bull. The eagle man inspected the flesh, but kept scanning ahead of it and behind it. It inspected the flesh again, but kept scanning ahead of it and behind it. It kept going further in the stomach until it penetrated to the lining of the innards. As it went right in, the serpent man seized it by the wing. You robbed my young ones from my nest. You robbed my nest. The eagle man made his voice heard and began to speak. Spare me. I shall give you as one betrothed a new payment. Serpent man made his voice heard and began to speak. If I were to free you, how would I answer Shamash? The punishment due to you would revert to me. Y'all hear this shit?
Oh, yeah.
That's in the goddamn, what that shit called? Neff, Breaking the Spell on Black's book. He said, the punishment, if I let you go, your punishment will revert to me. The shit Shamash, me and Shamash got for you, Shamash going to put that shit on me for not goddamn following orders, how to kill your bitch ass, starve you out. That's forgiveness. Yeah, that's what he's asking him for forgiveness. He said, nah, man, if I forgive you, that shit going to come back on me. Damn. If I were to free you, how would I answer Shamash? The punishment due to you would revert to me. The punishment that I now inflict on you. It cut its wings, pinion and feather, pluck it and threw it into a pit. It was left to die of hunger and thirst. The eagle man cried in regret. Every day it prayed repeatedly to Shamash. Am I to die in the pit? Who realizes that it is your punishment I bear? Save my life for me, the eagle man, so that I may broadcast your fame for eternity. Shamash made his voice heard and spoke to the eagle man. You are a wicked motherfucker, and you have Yo, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Shamash made his voice heard and spoke to the eagle man. You are a wicked motherfucker. You got an EBT card with your name on it. You have grieved my heart. You did an unforgivable deed, an abomination to the Balaam, the Nephilims. You are dying, and I shall not go near you. But a man who I am sending to you is coming. Let him help you. Every day, Etana prayed repeatedly to Shamash. Oh, Shamash, you have enjoyed the best cuts of my sheep. Earth has drunk the blood of my lambs. I have honored the Anunnaki and respected the souls of the dead. The dream interpreters have made full use of my incense. The Balaams have made full use of my lambs at the slaughter. O ruler, let the word to forth from your mouth. Maybe that's not what it says. Let the word to forth.
Yes.
Maybe come forth from your mouth.
Yeah.
And give me the plant of birth. Look at Neff laughing. And give me the plant of birth. Show me the plant of birth. Remove my shame and provide me with a son. Shamash made his voice heard. Shamash made his voice heard and spoke to Etana. Go along the road, cross the mountain, find a pit and look carefully down there. It will show you the plant of birth. At the command of Shamash, the warrior, Etana, went across the mountain, found the pit, and looked at what was inside it. Eagle Man was abandoned down there. The Eagle Man raised itself up at once. Tablet 2, Etana. This should be the end, too. I think I ain't but two tablets on that sheet. Should we go? Yep, let's go. We've got 40 minutes. Lo, the Eagle Man made his voice heard and spoke to Shamash. O ruler, I thank you. The offspring of mine, that of a bird, I pledge to you. Whatever I say in honor of you, at the command of Shamash, I am saved. The offspring of mine that is of the bird, I pledge to you. The Eagle Man made his voice heard and spoke to Etana. Why have you come to me? Tell me. Etana made his voice heard and spoke to the Eagle Man. Oh, my friend, give me the plant of birth. Show me the plant of birth. Remove my shame and provide me with a son. Leave the plant with me when you get out. Leave it, I beg you. Then the Eagle Man said to Etana, the ruler of Kish, all alone I shall search the mountains and cross the road. Let me bring the plant of birth as I promised to you. When Etana heard this, he covered the front of the pit with juniper, made for it, and threw down his wing and kept the plant. Thus he kept the Eagle Man alive in the pit. He began to teach it to fly again. For 1 month, then a second month, he kept the plant and the Eagle Man alive in the pit and began to teach it to fly again. For a third month, then a fourth month, he kept the plant and the Eagle Man alive in the pit. Pit, that's interesting. Pit, pit. Don't that sound familiar? Yo, that's not a coincidence for those who know the fuck I'm talking about. You hear this shit? Pit. In the pit. In the pit. Yo.
Yep.
Yo, I couldn't make this shit up. Okay. Let's go. Okay. For a third month, then a fourth month, and he kept the plant and the... What verse am I at? And he kept the plant and the Eagle Man alive in the pit and began to teach it to fly again. Etana helped it for 7 months. In the eighth month, he helped it out of his pit. The Eagle Man, now well-fed, was as strong as a fierce lion. The Eagle Man made his voice heard and spoke to Etana. My friend, we really are friends, you and I. Tell me what you wish from me, and I may give it to you. Etana made his voice heard and spoke to the Eagle Man. Change my destiny for and disclose what is concealed. Etana did as he was ordered by Shamash and went and helped the Eagle Man out of the pit. The Eagle Man hunted around in the mountains day and shadow hour, but the plant of birth was not to be found there. Come, my friend, let me carry you up to the sky. Let us meet with Ishtar, the mistress of birth. Beside Ishtar, the mistress of birth, let us find a new plant. Put your arms over my sides. Put your hands over the quills of my wings. He put his arms over his sides, put his hands over the quills of his wings. The Eagle Man took him upwards for a mile. My friend, look at the country. How does it seem? The affairs of the country buzz with prosperity like flies building their homes, and the wide sea is no bigger than a sheepfold. The Eagle Man took him up a second mile. My friend, look at the country. How does it seem? The country has turned into a garden of delight, and the wide sea is no bigger than a bucket. It took him up a third mile. My friend, look at the country. How does it seem? I am looking for the country, but I can't see it, and my eyes cannot even pick out the wide sea. My friend, I cannot go any further towards heaven. Retrace the way and let me go back to my city. The Eagle Man shrugged him off for 1 mile, then dropped down and retrieved him on his wings. The Eagle Man shrugged him off for a second mile, then dropped down and retrieved him on his wings. The Eagle Man shrugged him off for a third mile, then dropped down and retrieved him on his wings. a meter from the ground, the eagle man shrugged him off, then dropped down and retrieved him on his wings. Etana said to the eagle man, "My friend, I saw a first bad ream. The city of Kish was sobbing from the disagreement between the Anunnaki. Within it, the people were in mourning for the disobedience of Enki to Anu. I sang a song of lamentation for this great grief. O Kish, giver of life, Etana cannot give you an heir, for they are in exile. O Kish, giver of life, Etana cannot give you an heir, for they have been runaway." His wife said to Etana, "The Allahum showed me a dream. Like Etana, my husband, I have had a dream of distress. Like you, the Allahum have shown me a dream of distress, and his ghost is most holy." Etana opened his mouth and spoke to the eagle man. "My friend, the Allahum showed me another dream of delight. We were going through the entrance of the gate of Anu, father of Enlil and Enki. We bowed down together, you and I. We were going through the entrance of the gate of Sin, Shamash, Baal, Adad, and Ishtar. We bowed down together, you and I. I saw a house with a window that was not sealed. I pushed it open and went inside. Sitting in there was a girl, adorned with a crown. Beautiful was her face. A throne was set in place, and within the great house she sat. Beneath the throne crouched snarling lions. I came up, and the lion sprang at me. I woke up terrified. The eagle man said to Etana, 'My friend, the significance of the dream is quite clear. Come, let me carry you up to the heaven of Anu, the great owl. Put your chest over his breast. Put his hands over his sides. Put your arms over my sides.' He put his chest over his breast, put his hands over his feathers, put his arms over his side. The eagle man tied his load on securely, took him up a mile, and spoke to him, to Etana. 'See, my friend, how the country seems? Inspect the sea. Look carefully for its features. The country is only the edge of point seen of a mountain. And whatever has become of the sea,' the eagle man took him up a second mile and spoke to Etana. 'See, my friend, how the country seems? The sea has turned into a gardener's ditch. When they came up to the heaven of Anu, they went through the gate of Anu, father of Enlil and Enki. The eagle man and Etana bowed down together. They went through the gate of Sin, Shamash, Baal-Adad, also called Elyon, the Fowl, and Ishtar. The eagle man and Etana bowed down together. He pushed it open and went inside. This is how it was recorded, and this is how it will be." Yeah, baby. Last chapter of the El's Holy Tablets. Chapter 19. We won't get into it this. We won't start off chapter 19. We won't rush through it, so we'll start it next week. 720, 421, come on in, give us a mic check. 720, 421, did you want your mic open?
Doing.
Good.
This is Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, how are you doing today? What you got for us, too, Anthony? Hey, too, what's good with you, too?
I saw something very interesting today. It was at the Discount movie theater, and I thought it was a very interesting. It was a total different story. It was I saw that movie Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. It was different.
Okay, you gonna tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, a little bit about it. Of course. It kind of reminded me, when I was watching it, I was kind of thinking about what I've been listening to throughout the Holy Tablet show. Even though it was kind of off from that, there was some stuff in there that it was kind of like that, what you've been mentioning, what I've been learning from the Holy Tablet show. And that was not only on that, it was certain other shows where they were talking about aliens, and they was talking about their names, and I was just thinking, and how some of the gems that I got dropped from the show, the Holy Tablet show, that really opened my eyes. Like, if I wasn't hearing that, if I didn't hear it from you guys, I wouldn't have caught some things. I mean, it was very different, whereas, like in this movie, they didn't have God speaking to the man, like you hear in some of these biblical movies, like you hear like a deep voice in the sky or whatever, like he spoke to him through visions. And it was, of course, you know, and then they had Cain, like they talked about three brothers. They had, like, they were saying how Adam had three sons, is what they was trying to say in this particular movie. There was Cain, you know, Abel, Cain, and Seth. And it was, you know, of course, when Cain killed Abel, he was kicked out, and he started the Canaanites. And he was there was this, like, evil group of people.
The Canaanites. Y'all hear this? This is like, well, I've been saying this shit all day yesterday on Nell Show last night. Yeah, the Canaanites. Say it again.
The Canaanites, yes.
Yeah, the Canaanites, not to be mistaken with the Canaanites. The Canaanites. Let's go. Let's dance.
That's what they called him in the movie. If I remember correctly, that's what they called him in the movie. And, you know, and then, I mean, he was foul. Cain was foul in that movie. I mean, he was pretty foul.
What was he doing? Tell us about Cain. You walked in right on time. Tell us about Cain in the movie. How foul was he? Tell us what he was doing.
In the movie, he put himself on the pedestal of God in the movie.
Okay, how? You gotta tell me something.
And then he was telling Noah was building his ark, right? And then he says, I saw all the birds coming in. I saw all these birds coming in into this. So I want to know what you're doing. He was telling him that he was bigger than any miracle. He's not afraid of miracles. Pretty much all throughout the movie, he was kept on telling him, I'm not afraid of miracles. I don't want to give too much away. You want to go ahead and see some of it? But I knew there was some part.
Yeah, you can get that shit away. We don't give a fuck about that shit. What's the name of the damn movie?
Noah.
You talking about that white movie that came out? Now, who played? Ain't somebody. Who was playing Noah?
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, okay. That's the movie you're talking about. Gotcha.
But you know how they do it in Hollywood. They will throw some stuff out at you, and that's why you won't accept it, because you won't accept
it. So Cain is there during Noah time.
Right.
Okay, what else?
That's what they have in the movie. Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of a different story. I didn't really care for. I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it either. It was just something that. It was an interesting movie. It was just some things.
Tell us what was interesting about it, though.
I mean, like for instance, like when they were all on the ship, right? When they were on the ark, they had this. There was when the animals as the animals came in, they would go ahead and they would throw around some incense. They'll throw this incense around, and these incense made all the animals go to sleep. So they put all the animals to sleep. During the voyage, because it was supposed to be like a nine month voyage.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
And, like,
were there any
the
gods around?
Well, they were like these rock gods. Like it was the earth, and I forgot what their names were. You know, I can't even remember what their names were, but they were supposed to be there to protect the earth, protect humans, and they were supposed to protect the earth, and they were like rock form. They looked like these rock animals.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so I mean, and like it was just the whole storyline. I mean, it was way different than your typical Noah movie storyline, right? It was just a little bit different. I mean, I didn't pay full price for the movie. I mean, I paid like $2.25 for the movie, so it was nothing I didn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't have wanted to pay the full price for that movie. You know, at a movie theater, I would have believed in that. So, but it was some things like I said, and then. And then he fought. Cain tried to, in the movie they have show Cain trying to take over as he saw the rain coming down, he led all his people and they were trying to take over the ark.
The Cainites was trying to take over the ark.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, yeah, and also, Noah, also, one significant thing, Noah wanted... He was believing that God wanted to kill everybody, even those on the ship. The only people that God wanted to save was the animals.
That would make sense because their God is the king of the animal kingdom, God of the animals. Caucasians are God of the animals.
Yeah, so, and that was just, so he wanted to kill everybody, and there was a his grandfather. They showed his grandfather, right? His grandfather had like these kind of magical powers, kind of, and he was, because of him, he gave him the seed that he was able to have the wood to build his ship.
Mm.
And then like he had like a, there was this abandoned girl they found. She happened to join him, join in on him. So his oldest son fell in love with her, and but she at first she couldn't have bare children, but then his grandfather put his hand on her womb, and she was able to bear children, and they had a child. But he wanted to kill the babies as soon as they were born.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a wild story. I was like, what is this? It was pretty different. It was a lot different than, you know. Even though I don't really take some things, that story in the Bible literally, but it was a very different, interesting story, you know, from the story that you were used to. Like, I mean, to me, like, it kind of made a little bit more sense, like, them putting the animals to sleep, so the animals could sleep on them, because you had every species on there, supposedly, right? That would make sense. If you would put them to sleep, that would make a better story, a more logical story. I mean, you have all these animals up wanting to attack each other.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm. So on a scale of 1 to 9, how you rate that movie?
5. It's entertaining.
You give it a 5?
Yeah, 5. I say it's entertaining. It's entertaining. It's a different story. But if you understand certain things, you know, you might understand it. But if you just totally kind of lost and back, you know, you're not right thinking, would you stay right thinking? You would like, oh, you might buy some, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to say you can find you a bootleg man who has a good copy.
Well, I need to get it from a bootleg man. You know, I just want to go ahead and watch it. I'm not going to pay to watch it, but I am going to watch it.
Right. Yeah, so it's a decent story. It's not a terrible. Like I said, I don't hate it. I don't love it, but so.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you telling us about this. You went to go see the movie Noah. What's that dude's name that's in it?
Russell Crowe. And see, that's the one thing also that kind of threw me off was I thought they should at least put some color in this movie, because that was the thing, is the civilization.
What you mean color?
Yeah, you talk about some black folks.
Oh, well, you know, man, come on, man, it wouldn't be right of them to put niggas in it.
And then they had this civilization restarted by a white woman. That's who was supposed to rebirth civilization again after God destroyed it.
Oh, a white woman?
Yeah, it was a white woman, yeah. So that's how they said, so civilization is going to begin with this white woman again, rebirth again.
Okay.
So, I mean, okay, it's subliminal messages right there telling you, you know.
Well, that's not necessarily a subliminal message. That's it right there in your face. That's the 6,000, because it's after Cain. This is what people don't understand. It's after, this is Noah. So their story starts 6,000 years ago, the birth of Cain. So she would be the one to see the population, the Canaanites. The birth of Canaan, I'm sorry, I keep saying the birth of Cain. But remember, it's the whole story is about Noah, right, and his three sons, and Ham gave Ham had a son named Canaan. That's where their 6,000. That's their Adam. Canaan is their Adam.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
Right.
Canaan is their Adam of 6,000 years ago.
Actually, Cain was the one. Like I said, that's the whole part that changed. It changed a lot. So yeah, Shem, it was him, and it was what was the other third?
Jephthah.
Yes, that one. And they really don't mention Mephis too much anymore. The focus was on Shem and Ham. Shem was the one who had gave birth, and she had twins. She had two twins. That's what I found it was very significant too. Two twin girls. And
wait a minute, are you saying Shem?
No, it was Shem. Shem was the one who supposedly was the one who gave, who had, you know, had relations with the young lady and she was the one.
And she had twins, right? Absolutely. And what did they say that Ham did?
And Ham disappeared. Ham took off because Noah, like this girl that he met, said no. I mean, like he wasn't here. So Ham was like kind of plotting against Noah through the movie. At the end of the, he was plotting with Noah to kill Noah with Cain because Cain snuck on the ship. On the ark.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was like what? That's why. See, I really didn't really go. I never really got into deep into that story, that Noah story. I mean, I knew about the story, right? And I think everybody, what everybody knows about it. You know, like from Sunday school, like when we used to go to Sunday school and we used to see the little cartoons, right? Little cartoons.
No, I never went to Sunday school. Never saw cartoons on this.
Like, nobody had us like the glue crayon. We had the color. They gave us the glue crayon. And
yeah.
That's
interesting. Wow. Yeah, I can't relate to that. I never went to Sunday school and saw cartoons. Come on in, Neff. What you got for us? Well, we get up out of here, so because Neff doing the fight tonight, Anthony, right? In the next 30 or less than 20 minutes, we got the Floyd Mayweather fight with what the nigga name is, Madiano?
Yeah, Maidana.
Madonna.
Madonna. Yeah, Madonna.
Maidana.
Yes.
Yeah. What you got for us?
I had a question. I was reading Breaking the Spell again. It's one of my favorite books, but I was reading it, and I'm just trying to get a clear understanding of when he says that Elil was likened onto Satuk and Elil to Arsu, what is that, Osiris, right?
Okay. Hold on, what page? Hold on, what page?
It's 11. It's early in there. I was just trying to figure out. Who came first? Is it the? Because I'm trying to figure out why they say they are likened to one another. If one, like,
all right, where you
people
at
came first, like,
where are you? I'm on 11. Could you read it?
Yes.
Is it who cast the spell of Ammon?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
right
who
there.
Cast the spell of Ammon? Answer, Zuin, also known as Enzu, Shakar, Kato, Devil, Iblis, Shaitan, Balus, Nulush, Hadad, Hasatan, Tarnish, and Apophis. In Tamaray, Egypt, the father of Halal, cast this evil hypnotic spell of sleep. Apep, Apophis, mm-hmm. A Rumusian reptilian from the planet Ram, Titan. According to the Sumerian doctrine,
mm-hmm.
Most of you think Saturn is a planet as you have been programmed to think, when actually it is a ball of gas, not a planet. Zuin cast his spell for Enki, Ludinmud of
mm-hmm.
Sumerian culture. Zuin cast his spell of Enki, Ludinmud of Sumerian culture. Ludinmud, who is equivalent to Satuk in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
was the founder of the city of Nod, Lebanon, of old Egypt. Old Phoenicia, who was the master of Tav, the planet Earth. Keep going, or is that what you wanted to know, who was the equivalent?
Yeah, I just, when he says equivalent, so that just means that the Sumerian culture is older than ancient Egypt then, basically? That one
yeah,
came first?
Yeah, Sumer is older.
Okay.
Then Sumerians is older than the Egyptians.
Gotcha.
It's like
okay.
It goes like Sumer, then the Sumer children would be considered the Tamarayans or the Egyptians. They taught
okay.
the Egyptians. And then the Egyptians taught the Moors, and thus the Moors,
mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Okay, I follow.
Yeah,
so when he gave you
this, began to be Muslims and more science motherfuckers.
Okay. So the reason why I'm trying to figure out the reason why he just wants to he just shows that they're equivalent just to give people something to fall back on, like those who may be more familiar with the ancient Egypt culture. Because I'm just trying to figure out why he uses the word equivalent to just to show their positions, pretty much.
No, well, it's, are you familiar with the saying or the definition of who, right? It say who is the creator force of will.
Right.
Who is equivalent to Anu. That word is also used in the definition, right? Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Who, the creative force of will,
mm-hmm.
who is equivalent to Anu. And to be equivalent, it simply means to be equal to. So
okay.
even though
okay.
who is the creative force of will, Anu is also equivalent to who.
Okay.
It's the same.
Same, right.
Right.
I mean, yeah, equal to. I mean, I understand equivalency.
Right.
Okay.
So Zuin cast a spell for Enki, Nudinmud, of the Sumerian culture. Nudinmud, who is equivalent to Satuk in Egypt,
right.
was the founder of the city of Nod, Lebanon of old Phoenicia, who was the master of Ta, the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
In Lille, right? And they
right.
call him Asaru. Right?
In
ancient
Egypt.
Egypt.
Age of Egypt.
Absolutely.
Right.
They called
mm-hmm.
him Asaru in ancient Egypt. They call Enki Satuk, brother, the sons of Anu or Re or Ra, the sons of Ra, the heavenly one. These are the same. The same way Ishtar is equivalent to Isis or
okay.
Aset. The
right.
same. Right.
So Ishtar is the Sumerian equivalency to...
Right, because Ishtar father
right.
would be Anu, or also
okay.
known as Re or Ra in
mm-hmm.
ancient Egypt, who would be Aset.
Okay. So two different time periods. The Sumerians are older. Just this, these people hold, like, the same titles, the same equivalent to one another. Okay, so I got it. Okay. I know that's a fairly elementary question, but I still wanted clarity on it.
Okay, and your clarity would be, again, repeat it for me, boo.
That the Sumerian, the culture is older, you know, is older well, than the
old Tamaré. Yeah, because the Anunnakis are the ones that taught the Sumerians, listen, about Enki and Enlil and Ishtar and all the motherfuckers,
mm-hmm.
taught the Sumerians. And the Sumerians taught the ancient Egyptians.
Right. Okay.
Passed it down because they're all in the bloodline.
Right.
So in other words, when they start talking about the story of Asaru or Satuk, you might as well say they're talking about the story of Enki and goddamn Enlil. When they start talking about Isis and Osiris, they're talking about Mary, or we go back to Mary. Go further to Mary and Yahshua, Isis and Horus, Mary and Yahshua,
mm-hmm.
or we can go back to Isis and Ishtar and Tammuz.
Okay.
In other words, you might as well call it watered down stories.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So did they, even though they show that they're equivalents, did they all have like the same like story about themselves?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to.
When you get
okay.
into the ancient Egyptian stories like of Gab and Nut.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you're looking
okay.
at Enlil, you're looking at, you might as well say you're looking at Geb. When you're looking at Enki, you might as well say you're looking at Satuk. Look at the picture.
I'm looking.
They're the same motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
They're brothers. Geb is over the sky, just like Enlil is over the sky.
Right.
And Enki is over the earth, just like
Satuk
is over the earth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Asaru. Asaru and Satuk are brothers.
Right.
Enki and Enlil are brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Enlil is the god of the sky. Enki is the god of the earth. Asaru is the god of the sky. Satuk would be the god of the earth.
Right. Okay.
But now, shit, nigga, I ain't fucking know Zuin cast the spell for Enki, and I've been saying
mm-hmm.
that shit. This shit will wake up a motherfucker. I told these mm-hmm. people, man, niggas don't get it. It's a family affair.
Right.
It's a family affair, and when you move, and when you take away good and bad in our family affair, you'll understand that it was just what it was, exactly what it was. No good side, no bad side. It's just
right.
Easy.
A family
Zuin,
beef. Right.
This shit fucked me up. Zuin cast a spell for Enki. Now Zuin
mm-hmm.
is sin.
Right.
That's some deep ass shit. In Sumer. That means that spell of sin was casted also in Sumeria, in Sumer.
Okay. And that's because
Inky.
That's because Inky want to put these motherfuckers to sleep.
Okay.
Because Ishtar also did it, like I said before. Ishtar casted it. Tamaray or Tiamat casted the spell of sleep. When she needed that spell casted.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that, here's what's interesting. This is what I heard now. I don't know if I read it to either one. I don't know if I read it, but I know I heard it. But whatever, either way, you hear it, even if you read it. But if Inky asked Zuin to cast the spell of sleep for him, Murda came to break the spell of sleep. That's some interesting shit, to break the spell of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And Murduk is Inky's son.
Is Inky's son. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he came
Murduk
to break the spell
son.
That was placed on his father.
Yeah. Huh?
Right. So he came to break the spell that was placed on his father.
Not placed
right?
on his father, that his father asked Zuin to place on the beings on the planet Earth, the inhabitants.
Okay.
Yeah. So Murduk came to break the spell. Because his father casted the spell by way of Zuin.
Zuin cast the spell for Inky. So Inky,
that what it
right? So Inky commanded that Zuin cast the spell. Okay. Not on him, but for him. That makes a big difference. Okay.
Yeah,
I
and his
son,
and
right.
his son Murduk came to break the fucking spell. That's interesting, ain't it?
Very. So he come to correct his father's errors, his father's ways.
I guess so. All
right.
That's interesting. Let's read more. Let's read more. It said, what does it say? It says, Asaru Inki took brother, the son of Anu, or Re, or Ra, the heavenly one, had 7 tablets in his possession called the Scroll of All, which told of the coming of the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Zuin, here's the word again, equivalent
right.
to Apophis. Of ancient Egypt, befriended Enlil, equivalent to Asar Osiris of ancient Egypt, and became his gatekeeper for the sole purpose of reading the tablets of destiny, the scroll of all, or the Akasha records. That's how he found his way to the secret chamber, the ninth chamber, where the tablets were kept. Zuin Apep Apophis stole the first writing of the tablets and changed all their destinies. And or change what was to happen. And at that point, everything was at a standstill. The earth was void and dark. The Pa Netarat, the Elohim, were in conflict. You had 12 Quahat agreeable and 12 Neech disagreeable. And Enlil Asaru was left speechless. Enlil, meaning divine of the heavens or the skies, ruled the skies and was the son of Anu, who is Allah or El Elo of the Neteru, Elohim Anunnaki, and master of the heavens and earth. Once Zuin, Apep, Apophis, got the tablets of destiny, he gave them to Inki, to Tuk, and together they conspired against Enlil, Asaru, and the descendants of the Adamites, Enosites, and the Cainites. Cainites in this bitch again.
Mm-hmm.
Anu, Re, or Ra, is our heavenly father, Abana, of Tamaray, Egypt. So with Zuin, Apep, Apophis, help Inki, Tutuk, Set, another word for Tutuk is Set, was able to cast a spell on the descendants of Enlil, Asaru, Osiris. There we go. So they were able to cast a spell on the descendants of Asaru or Enlil or Osiris. This was done out of jealousy and a power conflict with his brother started, as with the stories of Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Ishmael and Isaac, and Solomon and Adonijah. All of these stories came from the real stories of Asaru, Osiris, and Satuk, Set, from ancient Tamaray, Egypt. This spell could also be used to control the procreated beings that would work for Pa Netzerat, the Elohim, and the Anunnaki, those who came down in 50s in the gold mines of South Africa, then called Rephali. and those who stayed in heaven's Elul. This is good, Neff. They were able to execute this spell of Amon, Leviathan, by making that which was bad look good and that which is good look bad. They made dark peace and tranquility look and seem bad, and fire, lightning, explosions, and light look good and seem good. So Tamahu people look good and Nubian people look bad, making it easy to accept a white god and a white son of God. They were able to control you so well because they actually bred with you and have gotten into your blood, which gives you the desire to want to be like them. And they do not allow you to hate them or love yourself, which makes it harder, but not impossible, to awaken from under the spell of self-hate. When they created the Bible and books with all white pictures for you and your children, they make and have movies about Bible stories with all white people from Jesus to angels. Plus, you have Michelangelo's portrait, Creation of Adam, where God is reaching for Adam's hand, and they are both white. The Muslims did the same thing in the Islamic movie about Muhammad and his companions. All are white, and so are all their pictures. Is all religious racism. This is to control you mentally, so you would continue to follow them blindly without question, so not to alarm the sleeping god, Neter, supreme being within, the true Egyptian, and so on and so on. Get a copy of this book if anybody's interested in it. Mm-hmm. Right now, the series number 4, Breaking the Spell on Black, the end for the ancient Egyptian order, right here at All Eyes on Egypt, 706-468-2319.
Yeah.
It is the shit. Damn,
it is.
I see why you on your 15th time reading that shit.
Yeah, this is my third. I think it's my third time. The third read. Yep, I like it.
Okay.
Mhm.
Well,
I just pulled more from it. The more
Inke,
I read,
Inke needed the spell casted on Asaru or in Leo's bloodline.
And changed, stole the tablets to change the destinies.
Yeah.
That's deep.
That's strong, ain't it?
Yeah.
According to the Sumerian stories.
And that's family. Yeah. Family is steal from you and change your destiny.
Yeah, that's why he said that's all
your
the
destiny.
Stories of Cain and Abel and Jacob and Isaac and Ishmael and whoever the fuck else and other motherfuckers, that's where it came from. The two rivalries, the sibling rivalries, came out of Enlil and Enki, or Asaru and Satuk, who is Set. Remember? Set chopped Osiris' body up. Cain chopped Abel's body up. Same shit, same story. Still in birthrights, all that other type of shit.
Right.
But it came from ancient Egypt to from the Sumerian of Enki and Enlil. Just watered down.
Right. I Am Live saying you didn't know everyone in the Middle East was actually white. That's not, of course I know that. That's not in what I was making reference to in what my question was to it. I mean, everything in the book is to read. what are you talking about? So
I didn't even get the question. You didn't know everything.
No, as if, like, because I'm reading this for the third time as if I didn't know that it was like they were white.
Yeah, it's equivalent. They're all the same. Every story is the goddamn same. That's what makes it interesting.
Right.
They take a story and then they change the names and put it in there. The same thing of Jacob and Isaac, if I'm not mistaken. They're talking about Yaqub. That story fits right in with Yaqub.
Right.
Jacob is Yaqub. Remember there's a J, it was Yaqub. Yaqub.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Right.
Yaqub. Same story.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. Yeah, because that, you know, but there's some interesting shit because even though the spell of Zuin, I mean, the spell of Zuin and the spell of sleep, how come white people wasn't affected? Damn, let me ask them that question after the fight.
Right.
Oh, duh, because it was only on Enlil seed.
People, his blood, his people,
trifling
his
bastard.
Seed.
Trifling bastard.
Right.
God damn, should have put it on everybody, because Tamaray Tiamat put it on everybody, every living motherfucker. Yeah, Ishtar did too. It was on everybody. And Leo seed was affected because Inky didn't like his ass. That's bullshit.
Right.
Thus, Murdoch have to come and break the spell of Enlil's seed in his bloodline from being under the spell of Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. All right, let's get out of here, man. The fight.
Yeah.
Y'all need to log off and call back in. You want the link to the Fizz Night. WGAG Radio presents Mayweather versus Madonna, hosted by Nefertiti of Surviving the Game, along with Jay Illa. You need the link for the fight. You need to holler at us in the after party on PowTalk.com, Don Nicoleone, the after party, to get that link. And we're about to go live in 3 minutes to the Floyd Mayweather.
Let's do it.
Money, what's that nigga's name? Money Train? What's the name of his
production? Hey, Money Mayweather. Money Mayweather.
What's the name of his promotion team?
Team Money something. I don't know what the other T stand for. Team Money Time or something.
Well, let's get it, man. We're about to go straight into it, man. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the L's Holy Tablet Show. The fight, Mayweather versus Madonna.
Yeah.
Up next, right here on WGAG Radio. Let's get it. Let's get it while the getting is good.
Radio!